Father, we, all of us, I think, at one point or another, we have doubts. We have difficulties in our walk with you, and Lord, trying to be obedient, but yet, Lord, your love is gracious. Your love is merciful. And Father, within it, you accept us the way we are. And Lord, we're just thankful for that. Lord, guide us now as we look into your word this evening, what you have to teach us, what you have to teach us from this young woman, Mary. And Lord, may your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, many years ago, a lady by the name of Mrs. Rosenberg was stranded late one night at a resort on Cape Cod. The desk clerk looked at her and said, "Sorry, no room. The hotel is full." Well, the Jewish lady, she said, "But your sign out front says you have vacancies." Well, the desk clerk stammered a little bit, and then he said, "Well, lady, this is it. We don't admit Jews in this place. You need to try something on the other side of town." Well, Mrs. Rosenberg stiffened a little bit, noticeably, and then she said, "I'll have you know, I've converted to your religion." The desk clerk said, "Oh, yeah? Well, let me give you a little test. How was Jesus born?" Mrs. Rosenberg replied, "Well, he was born of a virgin named Mary in a little town called Bethlehem." "Well, that's good," the hotel clerk said. "Tell me more." She said, "Well, he was born in a manger." "Well, that's right," replied the hotel clerk. He said, "Why was he born in a manger?" Well, at this point, Mrs. Rosenberg was getting a little heated, and she said loudly, "Because a jerk like you in a hotel wouldn't give a Jewish lady a room for the night." Well, over the last two Sundays here at Calvary, we have been centering our sermon series on Mary. We've called this series Mary More Than a Christmas Story. We've looked at the faith of Mary, a woman of faith. We've looked at her as being a woman of justice. And this evening, I want us to take a few moments and look at a woman of witness. We have a picture of Jesus' birth in that song, "Away in the Manger," which maybe stretches some information a little bit. For example, it says in "Away in a Manger" in that song, "All is quiet and all is calm." It says that the cattle are lowing. That term lowing, I think it's a way of making mooing sound a little bit softer and quieter. And then in that song it says of Jesus, "No crying he makes." Really? He is a baby. I wouldn't count on that. But the whole song is very soft and gentle. And you know what? It's so soft and gentle, it maybe makes you want to stay the night in a stable instead of in a hotel yourself, right? And then in the Bible, we hear there was no room in the inn. And we sometimes come away with that thinking, mean, uncaring hotel owner. But let's put ourselves a little bit in place of what's going on. Bethlehem is a very small town. Quite often these inns within these small towns in that day and time were really someone's home who had spare rooms in the house. And they would, at special occasions, rent out those spare rooms to people. This was not the Hilton. This was not a Holiday Inn or a Comfort Inn or anything like that. This was a very small place. Joseph and Mary, well, they were in Bethlehem for a reason that many others were in Bethlehem on that day. A census was being taken, and people needed to go back to the town of their origin to take part in that census. Having no room in the inn, staying in a stable area with animals could actually have been a plus for Mary and Joseph at this evening. Often in that day also, in these rooms that they rented out, multiple families would stay in one room. Here is Mary about to deliver. Mary may have needed a little bit more privacy than having a few other people in the room with her. In other words, no room in the inn could also mean not enough room for childbirth. And yes, ladies, Mary did feel labor pains, even though you don't hear that in a way in the manger. She felt labor pains, and you know, the song doesn't tell us anything about Mary maybe screaming out or yelling in the midst of that delivery. Not to mention that childbirth is a little messy. But then that moment arrived when Mary held Jesus in her arms and reflects back on the promise that Gabriel made to her some 9 months prior. Since that day when Mary was told that she would be the mother of the Savior of the world, she heard from witness after witness after witness of the event to come. There was the visit of the angel Gabriel to Mary herself. Then the time that she spent with her pregnant relative Elizabeth, whose husband also had received a visit, a witness from Gabriel. Then Joseph himself heard from Gabriel, another witness. The shepherds. The shepherds have already come upon the scene for the scripture we're going to look at tonight. They've already been there, and they've come and told Mary about what they have seen, what they have heard. Another witness. But Mary had one other adventure. An adventure that adds to her list of witnesses building in her young life. It came from strange visitors who came from the east. Our scripture passage is Matthew, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go, search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen, when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Well, this story of a journey being told here to Mary by these wise men. They're also known as magi. And it seems to confirm even further into the life of Mary about what was to come with her son and her understanding that Jesus would sit on David's throne one day in Jerusalem and may even defeat the Romans. Even Mary didn't quite grasp the nature of the Christ, did not grasp the nature of her son, the Messiah, yet. But let's look at how the witnesses found in this story lead to Mary herself being a woman of witness. First, we have the witness from the Magi. Magi were actually a priestly caste. They came from Persia, what we today would be modern day Iran. The term Magi grew into meaning also magician and astrologer. Magi were highly respected in the Gentile world. They weren't as much in the Jewish world, but in the Gentile world, and particularly their ability to interpret dreams. Even still, even though they were Gentiles, the idea that these men who are of such high esteem in the Gentile world would travel all these hundreds of miles to visit Mary's baby must have been shocking. Oh, we don't know Mary's thoughts exactly here. Was this just another in a line of extraordinary events that she experienced that held as a witness of that this baby was someone very special? The Magi, we learn, first stop by and visit King Herod the Great. Oh, I can imagine. See, Herod's known for his inflated ego anyway in history. But can you imagine Herod, how he felt when he heard that he was getting visitors? Visitors were here to talk to him from faraway land, hundreds of miles away. These important Magi wanted to talk to him. That inflated ego, I believe, deflated pretty quickly when they told him, "We are here to find out about a royal birth, a birth of a king." And Herod realizes it's not his family. He's not part of this royal birth. Quickly, Herod, this happiness maybe he was feeling for a while, must have turned into threatening thoughts. "Who's after my kingdom? Who's trying to take my kingdom from me?" And Herod was so threatened that he lied to the Magi of his own intent. He lied to them that he wanted to come and worship this baby, adore this new king. The Magi, when they came, they didn't come to bow down and worship Herod. They did that for the baby Jesus. They didn't come to bring gifts to Herod. They brought gifts to Jesus. Now, we don't know really a whole lot about the Magi. I mean, we have a song that says three kings, but that's most likely because there were three gifts that were shared. Some believe it could have been as many as 10 or more Magi who came on this evening. We do know that Mary witnessed Gentile Magi arriving with gifts, gifts that were meant for a king. This would only add to her vision that Jesus would be sitting on that throne of Jerusalem one day because he's being so honored. She may have thought that her son's significance is so great because these people were coming from a foreign land. His significance was going to be so great it was going to go outside the boundaries of Israel and even touching Rome itself. The witness from the Magi only added greater significance to the overall witness of events Mary had already had. But there was another witness in our story that added to Mary's list of witnesses, and it's not even a human witness. It's witness from a star. Oh, how do we explain this star? How do we explain this special star that guided the Magi? How do we explain this cosmic event that took place? Oh, some say it was a supernova. Some say it was a comet. We do know that historically, around 5 to 6 BC, that Jupiter and Saturn and Mars lined up in such a way it created a brilliant light in the night sky. And you may say, well, that's 5 or 6 BC. That's before Jesus is born, right? No, actually, Jesus was born somewhere between 4 and 6 BC. The people who created the calendar, hundreds and hundreds of years later, kind of missed it. Historically, we know that Herod himself died in 4 BC. Maybe it was that planet alignment. Some say it wasn't really a star. Some people believe that it actually was angels. Angels with the brilliance of light. And that's the reason why I was able to guide them. They were following angels, brilliant light, that looked like a star to humans. But maybe it was just a miracle star that we're not able to explain. After all, God is God. If God is the creator of the entire universe, God can do whatever he wants with the universe. And maybe the real question that you might have this evening is just how big is your God? Is your God big enough to do something like that? Some decorate Christmas trees with stars on top, manger scenes with stars on top. The star, in whatever way God chose, was a witness again, a witness of such great significance that these Gentile magi, who, by the way, specialized in stargazing, were so enamored by this star that it caused them to travel great distances, believing it led them to royalty. The witness from the star added to a list of witnesses for Mary that her son was something special. But we have one more witness in our story. It's witness from an angel. Mary's baby was a threat to Herod. The Magi were the first to know about the danger. And they were told in a dream, they were told, don't go back to Herod. He wants to know who the family is. He wants to know where exactly in Bethlehem this is taking place. Don't go back to Herod and tell him where and who Jesus is. Herod is deceptive. He is lying to you. Go back home another way. And they did. Herod was not pleased with that. What the Magi did, that they didn't come back and report to them about this child. And so he began an attack of ridding his kingdom of this royal child. But God protected his son. Matthew 2:13-15 says, now when they, that is the Magi, had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Unknown to Herod, Mary and Joseph and Jesus are now heading to Egypt, heading south for safety. Herod, though, didn't know this, and he strikes out in anger to find this child, to get rid of this royal child. He had no description of the family. He didn't know exactly in Bethlehem where they were. So he knew the birth took place there. And Herod, in this crazed manner of his, this crazed power that he had, he slaughtered male babies 2 years and younger in Bethlehem to make sure all his bases were covered. And then he died in 4 BC. History tells us of excruciating sickness. Many believe God's punishment for his action. Jesus' family was then instructed to head home, back to the town of Mary and Joseph, back to the place where they used to live before they came to the census in Bethlehem, back to Nazareth. Oh, don't you think at this point, by this time, Mary, as they arrive in Nazareth, she has to be thinking, Joseph, haven't we had enough yet? Many of us would have been shell-shocked at this point with all that this young family has had to deal with. But what about Mary as a witness? From the first announcement from Gabriel to Mary, to the words and the actions of the Magi, things were adding up one upon another in Mary's witness of these events. She witnessed the protection of God over her son by the encouragement to go to Egypt to get away from Herod, and then Herod's own death, and then God said, go back home. But as we know, the witness Mary saw would not lead to the results she assumed they were going to lead to. Mary's life is going to take a lot of ups and downs along the way. And next Sunday, we're going to look at the last in this series called Woman of Sorrow, because her heart will break under the load that she will carry. Her heart will break because, in many ways, of her own misunderstanding of what God was up to, of what her son's kingship was all about. She was using her human eyes instead of the eyes of God and seeing what was going on in this plan of God. A headline from a newspaper several years ago declared this. It said, Mary may emerge as a significant role model for today's women. I believe it's true with one exception. I believe it should be read this way. Mary is a significant role model for all people. Mary was someone who was full of tremendous amount of faith in her God. The fact that from the very beginning, she said, let it be, God. When the message came to her, she said, let it be, knowing all the problems and difficulties that could come from it. She said, I have faith in you, God. Let it be. But Mary was also a very humble individual. You don't really see a lot of pride in Mary. It's about humility before her God. But Mary within this was also spirited. She had great anticipation. Within her humility, she was also a spirited person about what the future brought. She did not understand all that was going to take place, but she allowed her faith, her humility, her spirited anticipation drive her life. This is a sign of God's strength found within her. Only through God's strength can you have such faith, such humility, and a spirited anticipation of the future ahead. Mary was strong. She withstood many trials along the way. Mary could have given up all along the way, but she did not. Mary did not allow gossip or what other people think to affect her decisions for God. She witnessed a lot, but she also witnessed to others of what took place in her life. She was a woman of witness. The Bible does not point to Mary as some goddess who is above it all. No, it doesn't say anything like that. Nor does the Bible picture her as just a part in a play. She is someone who reveals faith. Faith, who is willing to follow God no matter the path that was before her, no matter the personal cost to her life, because she realized faith was most important. She could have run away from it all, but that type of life, if she had run away from her faith, that type of life would not have brought her true joy in life. See, there's a difference between joy. We talk about Christmas, joy to the world, as we sang. There's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is fleeting. You can be happy one moment, and the next moment you can be tearful and sad. Joy is something deep down within. Joy is something that even when you are in the midst of tears, you still have an inner joy within because you know how it's all going to work out. And that was Mary. She had that joy. Too many Christians today, I believe, give up and run away from the faith when the slightest inconvenience comes their way because they're missing joy, much less what Mary endured. When we run from difficulties, we miss out on true joy. Joy and sorrow, they're the flip side of a coin together. Sorrow makes us appreciate joy even more, and joy gives us strength to walk in the midst of sorrow. The joy of Christmas brought sorrow of Jesus dying on the cross, which then turned around and brought joy of the resurrection and what that meant. Jesus came to bring salvation. He came to bring forgiveness of our sin. He wasn't going to sit on the throne like Mary thought. She misunderstood what it meant for him to be of royal birth of God, to be the King, the Son of God. He came for the purpose, as already been said this evening. Jesus came to die for you and me for our sins. Sin brings sorrow to God. God detests sin. But God also loved us so much, He desired to fix our situation. He didn't just leave us abandoned. He wanted to fix it. It's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, He sent His Son." He desired to fix this situation by sending His Son in a joyous way that we call Christmas, that led to the sorrow of the cross, that you and I can find the joy of the forgiveness of sins. But finding the joy means having full faith, full trust, full belief in who Jesus is. God Himself in the flesh. All that He has done for us. Asking God for forgiveness and choosing to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior is a true way of faith and finding true joy for your life. Jesus is called the light of the world. We become, when we become followers of Jesus Christ, we become that light also. We are to be a light in this world of sin's darkness. We are to shine brightly for Jesus wherever we go. We want to close our time this evening by symbolizing this witness that we have for Jesus by the sharing of the light, the same witness that Mary had of Jesus. And we want to pass the light from one to the other. In just a moment, I'm going to have a prayer and then we'll pass the light. But I need to give you some instructions first. Pastor Mike and I are going to, in just a moment, come over and we're going to light our candles from the center candle, the Christ candle. We're then going to come to the front rows here and we're going to share with individuals there. And we want you then to share the light with the people next to you and the people behind you so that the light will just move from the front to the back of our worship center together. But when you share the light, there's a key so that you don't end up burning yourself with wax or your next door neighbor. And this is key, okay? When your candle is lit, always keep it upright. Okay, don't light somebody's candle by doing this. When their candle is not lit, they do this. So if your candle is not lit, you do this. If your candle is lit, you keep it like this. That way we'll keep everybody from being burned this evening or waxed out. Well, let's have a word of prayer. And as we light the candles, Pastor Ken is going to come and lead us in the singing of Silent Night together as we pass the light across our worship center. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Mary's life, her witness of the events of then, but her witness for You. And Lord, how she relied upon her own son as her Lord and Savior, because Mary need also her sins forgiven. Father, we come now to this time, this beautiful time of sharing of the light, sharing of the light of the world in the symbolism here. And Lord, as we sing Silent Night, help us, Father, to worship you in the midst of it all, that your will may be done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.